Is self-care selfish?
Some people might argue yes. Other people might say no.
My answer? It might actually surprise you, and I'm going to share all about it on this episode. It's a spicy one, so get ready. Welcome back to the podcast, friends. How are you? So before we dive in, if this episode sparks your curiosity, I want to invite you to my 3-day masterclass coming up. It's called Selfish, a conversation around people-pleasing beyond boundaries and saying no. You've probably heard that the solution to people-pleasing is just simply have boundaries and say no. I say not quite. And selfish is where we're going to get into that conversation. We're going to go beyond the limitations of saying no. We're going to dive into deep conversation about who you are, your relationship with others, and how you can successfully navigate experiences in your life without feeling the need to play the part of the people pleaser. And so I'm hosting it from Tuesday, April 2nd to Thursday, April 4th. You can check out all the details at oliveandbliss.ca/selfish. And so in this masterclass, we're reclaiming that word selfish. I know it can be sort of activating, and that's the whole point, because we have to start looking at these words that make us want to cower. And this masterclass is going to show you how to take back that word as a bridge to self-love and living courageously and authentically. Throughout the masterclass, we're really going to be talking about the power of language when it comes to people-pleasing and the unique opportunities that people-pleasing presents to people. And we don't really pay attention to it. I feel like I said a lot of people in that, but you get what I mean. You're going to learn strategies for healthy boundaries and self-care. That's actually very simple and sustainable. And then you're going to walk away with increased self-awareness because you're going to understand yourself better. You're going to know what's at the root of your people-pleasing behavior and why it feels so challenging to stop. And no, it's not because you're weak. It's not about that. So I'm going to give you the tools to help you set healthy boundaries beyond saying no and beyond having, you know, those canned responses. You're going to learn how to communicate better so that you can engage in meaningful conversations, know how to navigate challenging discussions, and you're going to leave with courage to deepen your connections and trust with yourself first before other people. So check out the link, oliveandbliss.ca/selfish. I cannot wait to see you. Okay, let's dive into the episode. Today we're talking all about permission to be selfish. And this episode is a bit of a tongue-in-cheek for me because I know how activating the idea of selfishness can be, but what kind of coach would I be? What kind of mentor would I be if I didn't help you challenge beliefs that keep you stuck in putting everyone else's needs before your own? Self-care is selfish. You've heard it so many times. You've probably said it yourself. I had one client who held on to this notion like her life depended on it. And I'm very excited to be talking about this because it's something I talk a lot with my private clients. And a few weeks back, I saw a Instagram post, a reel, came up on my feed from a lady named Erin Spar. I think she goes by @feministmomtherapist or something like that. And in that post, she shares her thoughts about why people tell moms that the solution for burnout is self-care. And she said the reason is because it doesn't require anything of society. Obviously, she had two words that really caught my attention. Number one, burnout. If you've heard my story, you know that burnout is the catalyst that sent me on this path to self-improvement, to coaching, to learning all the things I could to support myself and build a thriving life, and now supporting other moms as well. So obviously, I watched the reel, and then I had a thought, and I presented my thought. And my thought was that most of the self-care activities are actually self-soothing activities, so that we can jump back on the hamster wheel and keep going. Wouldn't you know, that comment as of this week when I checked, it's at almost 600 likes. And that tells me something, that we know that this is an issue. And we also know that something needs to be done about it. But who's going to do it? So for me, it's possible to say, well, there's patriarchy, there's oppressive systems, and I get all of that. I do not diminish that. I also think that there's room for us to take personal responsibility because there is a part that everyone has to play. And as my coach would tell me, my job is not to change the world by changing the system from the system. My job is to change the world one woman at a time. My job is to change the world with one woman with a managed mind at a time. A managed mind, a regulated nervous system, that's how I change the world. That is my part. And so you're here. So let's talk about the beliefs that keep you in the cycle of believing that the solution to burnout, the solution to stress, the solution to overwhelm is more selfish. But also, you're stressed out because you're thinking that self-care is selfish. So one thing that I find is that the reason why many of us want to know whether self-care is selfish or not is that we're just afraid of the responsibility that will be required of us if we decide that self-care matters. We don't want to be held responsible for being the selfish one. We don't want to be responsible for acting selfishly. And this is only one of many fears that we're trying to avoid as women. Another one is risk, which I'm going to talk about in next week's podcast episode. But here's how I approach this question. So first of all, I always am curious about who is asking the question, because really it comes down to who you are and what you believe to be true about yourself. Because I can give you all the tips, I can give you all the tricks, I can give you all the scripts. You can Google, you'll find it there. Everyone talks about it. I can tell you how to have boundaries, how to prioritize your self-care, how to stand up for yourself, and you'll still not do it. Maybe you'll do it for a few weeks and then you throw it in the trash. It does not become sustainable because the person is still the same. And what I've found to be true in my work is that when we seek to validate our answers or our behaviors using other people's opinion, then we depend on willpower. Because we think that their opinion, we think that the tactic, the tip, the script, the trick is the solution. But that's not true. So instead, why not explore what self-care means to you? So for me, a quick Google search will show that self-care is a practice of doing things. We already talked about this. But as a science nerd, and I love to geek out on research topics that matter to me, I thought, let me go play around and see what the research says. And here's one thing that I found that I thought was really interesting, that self-care is the ability to care for yourself through awareness, through self-control, and self-reliance in order to achieve, maintain, and promote optimal health and well-being. This was one that clicked for me because it ties back to my comment around us doing self-soothing activities to achieve something. But we never really think about the maintenance. We never really think about the promotion. It's just like, how can I fix this right now? And that's why it doesn't stay. Your self-care practice starts with you being aware. You must be aware of who you are as a person. Do you believe that you're worthy of being taken care of? Do you believe that you're worthy of prioritizing yourself? If you do, how deeply do you believe that? Where are you willing to negotiate on it? Because if you're not grounded there first, you're going to believe that you're selfish. And in your quest to prove that you're not selfish, you're going to find all of the things to do and all of the reasons why you deserve to prioritize your self-care. This is why you'll see a lot of women, they'll be like, oh, I'm overwhelmed, I'm going to take a trip. Or I'm so tired, I'm so this, I'm going to go get my nails done, I'm going to go get my hair done, I'll go get a massage so that we can relax. But then we soothe ourselves and guess what? We come back and we get back on that hamster wheel. This, my friend, is self-soothing. On their own, these activities are helpful, but you're actually depending on them to solve a bigger issue, which is how do we work on our identity as women who prioritize self-care? How do we set up our environments to support us? And my focus is always going to be you, because if you and I can change the narrative, then we can influence the people around us, and then the ripple effect gets to be astronomical. So two questions that I ask my clients, I'm asking you today. Number one, who benefits from your self-care? Number two, whose responsibility is it to decide to prioritize your self-care? I'm sure you can guess you're the common denominator. And so this is your cue to stop waiting for permission, to stop waiting for acknowledgement from your boss, from your kids, from your partner, from your friends to see how hard you're working. Stop waiting for people to validate your need for self-care. Stop waiting for people to see how haggard and stressed out and overwhelmed you look, and then they give you permission. Because when you realize that you're responsible for your own self-care, then you know that self-care is not just about the actions you take. Self-care starts from you.
It starts from the decision and the commitment to be a woman who prioritizes self-care. Just like you prioritize brushing your teeth and washing your face in the morning. And this is going to require you to contend with the belief that self-care is selfish. But you get to decide, do you want to keep believing that thought? Because you can also decide you no longer want to believe it. Or you can make peace with just being called selfish. Both options require your decision and commitment. They're neither good nor bad. And they will require work. Because guess what? You're going against the grain of what you've been taught to do in society. Your work then becomes living every day in that identity of a woman who prioritizes her self-care. How are you living daily to reflect that? How are you living daily to reflect that you're taking care of yourself through your own self-awareness, through self-control, through self-reliance? Are you paying attention to your emotions and processing them? Are you allowing yourself to feel and not judge yourself for your feelings? Or are you just shoving them down and numbing them out with food, with scrolling, with alcohol, with exercise? When you notice yourself doing things that you don't like, things that are not reflective of where you want to be, are you responding with unkind words and mean things? Or are you being gracious and compassionate and trying to learn to love yourself through it? This is how we develop our capacity to love ourselves. Because that's the bigger picture here. When you love yourself, self-care becomes effortless. I remember when my kids were younger and I would often tell them, I love you too much to let you do that thing to yourself every time they wanted to do something silly. Because if I said that's going to be hurtful or it's not safe, they just keep asking why. And I'm like, I love you too much to let you do that. Imagine if you adopted that as your self-care mantra. How might your life change? Sure, now we think spas and doing our nails and buying stuff is self-care, but they're not the only things. Sometimes something as simple as not eating your kids' leftovers is self-care. I remember doing this when I first had my kids. I would think, why are all the moms gaining weight after having children? Obviously, now I know better because I've been through my own journey. But back then, I was so vain and I thought it's because they keep eating the leftover food from their kids' plates. They never sit down to eat. I would hear moms complain all the time. Oh, I never sit down to eat. I'm not hungry. But it's because they spend the whole time eating their kids' leftovers. And I'm like, I will never do that. I still don't, but I don't think that way anymore. But little things like this, we have to start paying attention. I think about one of my clients in the past who was struggling with prioritizing herself, especially at work. She would work long hours, work in the evenings, work on weekends, because she was in a senior level leadership position. And her job was kind of one of those ones that if something went wrong, then it was kind of risky. And she was scared to take breaks. So first of all, I was like, okay, you're allowed to take breaks at work, right? Yeah, she has up to an hour of break, but she'll just sit at her desk and work. And I thought, okay, so let's just simply start practicing with 15-minute lunch breaks. And then one day, I remember she came into the session and she had the widest eyes possible, like a kid who just discovered a secret stash of candy. Or maybe not all kids, but this would be what my kids would do. And this stash of candy, no one else knew about it. And she said to me, I have something to tell you. And I said, sure, tell me. And she said, I found out what my self-care was this week. Now I'm getting really curious because I think, okay, she's going to say something really groundbreaking. And then she says to me, she goes, it was fixing the squeaky door that has been driving me nuts for weeks. And I'm not even going to kid. We both just started laughing so loud because how true is that? For weeks, she'd been feeling irritable and annoyed every time she walked into her kitchen. And I remember because we were talking about emotional eating and she just couldn't understand what was going on. But the more we were coaching and she was processing her emotions, the more she was, you know, her level of awareness was getting heightened. She realized there was this door that every time she walked by, it wouldn't stop squeaking. She fixed it because she was able to slow down enough to be aware and take control. So the little things matter. I get it, like manicures, facials, all those things, massages, I love them too. These are things that we can use to soothe ourselves, for us to survive. But we're not called to live in survival. Our bodies are not built that way. We're built to thrive, especially as women. And you can thrive when you decide that it doesn't matter what the culture says. It doesn't matter what the system says. It doesn't matter if everyone agrees.
I'm going to be a woman who chooses to prioritize my self-care, whatever that looks like for you, because that's how you start to pay attention to what matters. And then you're not going to look for tricks and tips and all the T's. You're not going to look for any of that because it's going to be something that comes naturally to you. And so this week, your permission slip is just decide and commit to acting like and creating the identity of a woman who prioritizes self-care. There's nothing to do. I know for you high-achieving brains, you want the step. There's no step. Just pay attention. Remember, awareness is the first step. So pay attention. Start to notice where the areas where you could benefit from intentionality, from taking ownership and responsibility for your self-care. I'd be interested to know what you find out. So come find me on LinkedIn. I'm Uime Oguta. Or on Instagram, I'm Uime_Oguta. And I'll put all the links in the show notes. Okay, my loves. I've given you lots to think about on this episode. So make sure you drink some water because you're going to need it. Mind your business too. And let's see what happens when you mess around with a little permission. Have a beautiful week, my friends. And I'll talk to you next week.